Speak with power, lead with presence, build your confidence. Meet Central Florida's charisma coach. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. Now, here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to today, to the Mary Gardner Show. I'm Mary, and we have a special guest in the house today. I'm so excited. And today, we're going to be talking about something that built America. Entrepreneurship. Not government programs, not luck, but entrepreneurship. The willingness to take a chance, to solve problems, to serve customers, work hard, and build something that matters. And today, my guest in the studio is a man that has done exactly that. He is U.S. Marine, a business owner. He owns Sutherland Nissan, and North Orlando Mitsubishi. He is a business owner, investor, community leader, and somebody who has built an extraordinary life through hard work, discipline, and service. You're going to learn a lot from him today. I'm so excited. U.S., thank you for being here in the studio. It's so good to see you.
Excited to be here with you, Mary.
Well, I have admired you from afar, and I know you from several different places. You also have the Morse code. I'm sure you have other investments and other businesses. Those are the two that I know about right now. But first of all, I have a question to ask because your name is so different. Tell me about your name, U.S. Marine. Is that your real name?
So that is my real name. My grandfather was in the military, and his last name was Marine, and he wanted his son's initials to be U.S., so he named my father Ulrich Stanley Marine.
Oh.
And when I was born, my father named me Ulrich Stanley Marine Jr. and called me by my initials since the day I was born. So U.S. is my initials, and my last name is Marine.
I love that. It stands out. Nobody forgets it. Everybody asks you about that. So I thought I'd get that out of the way in the very beginning. I want to hear about your upbringing. I mean, you are an extraordinary businessman. You have done really, really well. You've been very generous in the community. Tell me about your background. How did you become U.S. Marine, the businessman?
So I started out as a car salesman 33 years ago and got into the car business, not knowing if I'd ever be able to sell a car or not. But I was a bartender before that, and I was dating the manager of my restaurant, which was Bennigan's, and we ended up breaking up, and she was a little bit hard to work for after we broke up. And
I can't imagine why.
all the car guys used to come into my bar, and they always told me, you should try to sell cars. So
so anyways, I
got out of the bar business and got into the car business. And my first month in the car business, I sold 24 cars and I was salesman of the month. And
oh my gosh, that's a record even today. That's huge.
Yeah, I got really excited about the car business and worked really hard and saved my money. And
You seem very diligent about money, really good about money. Now, were your parents entrepreneurs? Is that where you got the bug, like to go out and just take the risk and like, I can do this, I'm going to try it?
So my dad was a banker, and my dad was a really hard worker. He worked he worked till 10, 11 o'clock at night sometimes.
Wow,
So I kind of, you know, watched him and how hard he worked all his life. And I guess he instilled that in me. And, I've worked hard all my life.
Yeah, so you have. You definitely do. I have watched you. What about your mom?
My mom is amazing. My mom is, she's a great encourager. She's watched me do pretty well in life, and she's very proud of me.
She's still with us?
She is.
Oh, that's a blessing. Is she local?
All the time. She actually lives in Tampa.
Okay. Well, that's fairly local.
That's where I was born, and I grew up in Tampa.
Where'd you go to high school?
Bloomingdale High School.
Okay.
Bloomingdale, yeah.
I don't know it. Okay.
It's actually in Brandon, Florida.
Okay, Brandon. Oh, I love it. They have the sea ponies over there. I don't know if you've seen them. That's my favorite thing. It's awesome. Now, I want to know about how you realized for yourself. Was it that moment, the aha moment, when you were, obviously, they saw something in you to come over and do cars. Was it that first month that made you realize, oh my gosh, I'm special, I'm different, I can really do this?
So my first month, I sold 24 cars.
That's huge.
About three times what I was making as a bartender. And I got really excited about the car business. Mm-hmm. I worked very, very hard. I ended up getting promoted to management after selling cars for 3 years. And then I worked my way up in management pretty quickly. And I had been a pretty good saver all my life, so had some money saved up. And about, I would say about 16, 17 years ago, I went to my district manager and for Nissan, and I said, listen, if any dealerships ever come available, let me know. I'm, you know, have some money saved up and I'd like to try to buy a store. And
wow.
And then shortly after that, he told me about a dealership in Orlando that came available. And I came from, I was actually living in Naples at that time.
Oh my gosh.
And came to Orlando and negotiated a deal to buy a Nissan dealership here in Orlando. And it was an underperforming store, not doing well.
Okay.
And I ended up buying it. And within 3 years, I was the number five Nissan dealer in the nation.
So, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So did pretty well. And then ended up buying three more stores on the East Coast of Florida.
Okay.
And I sold those stores about 3.5 years ago and just had my store in Orlando. I was trying to maybe wind down a little bit and enjoy some of the fruits of my labors. And, but then another dealership came available like 6 months ago, and I bought the Mitsubishi dealership here in Orlando 6 months ago.
Going to make that one great,
so,
too.
Yeah, working on that
Oh,
now.
My gosh.
So it's a work in progress.
There's so many things that I want to kind of unpack there for the listeners. First of all, you jumped into something, and you were good at it. And so you had that initial, you had hard drive. A lot of people, John Morgan has a book called You Can't Teach Hungry. But you had that hunger that you knew. So as a when you were doing the working at a restaurant or whatever, were you that ambitious guy who was making the bucks?
I mean, I was back then too. I thought maybe I didn't end up being a manager of
or going to restaurants.
But, the car business kind of grabbed me. And
yeah, it was obvious.
I really loved it. Get to meet a lot of good people and made a lot of friends. And I have people that bought cars from me 30 years ago when I was a salesman. They still buy cars from me today.
I would too. I think that's amazing. Yeah. And you've built your career here in Orlando. And I think that that's something that people could note. And really taking, I go back also, you had your father's insight into banking and about money, and you were already disciplined about that. And if I'm looking at young entrepreneurs or people starting out, watching the finances is really important. How important has that been for you in your career?
So it's very important. I had a mentor 30 years ago. His name was G.R. Tarr, and he had me read a book. It's called The Richest Man in Babylon. Mm. And that book kind of teaches you the discipline to save money, make your money work for you. And I recommend everybody read that book. It's a really, really good book. I've probably read it 5 times over my lifetime. But, it's a great book, and it kind of teaches you everything. And, you can have great ideas, but if you don't have money saved up to put them to action.
That's right. It's a lot of hardship. And a lot of people right now are getting laid off because of AI. And so there's a lot of people that are going to be stung and not prepared. And I think, and I keep hearing this, that people are just going to be without a job instantaneously. 30,000 people fired in one day, in some companies, large companies. So,
I have a friend in AI and robotics, and he told me that our world is going to change in the next 10 years more than it's changed in any 10-year period history.
Yeah.
So I think,
What did he say about the car industry? I mean, already you can go and you can download a car, you can buy it online, it downloads, you can drive it off the lot. Do you think that's going to change? Or do you think in a relationship business like yours is now, that's going to remain?
So there's going to be a lot of changes in the car business, but there's one thing that stays pretty steady is that anybody that wants to buy a car normally wants to come test drive it first.
Okay.
So, there's always going to be cars on the lot. There's always going to be car dealerships, and customers are going to be able to come and test drive a car. We do sell a lot of cars online, but the customer ultimately comes and test drives the car before they sign the paperwork.
Okay.
And
It's always nice. I mean, over at your Nissan dealership, everyone greets you at their car. I really like it. They're not high pressure. And so I think that that personality or that touch, that human touch is still going to be important, even if they can do all of that. Well, they can, oh, I've got chick, chick, chick number, you know, car lot number 121, whatever. Go over and get your key, your car. And probably they can self-serve. I'm sure there's a way to figure it out. But I agree. I think that in something like that, people are going to still want to have that human touch. What else did he say in terms of the change that you did? He say anything else? Just losing jobs? That's why I'm like, we got people have to learn how to adjust to AI and also go into entrepreneurship. But what else did your friend say?
Okay, so I'll tell you what he said.
Yeah.
So he said that robotics is going to be a big deal. So, for instance, he put it in the car and in terms for me in the car business, he said, you know, the first time, anybody ever saw a car on the road, they were bewildered because everything else prior to that was horse and buggy. And he goes, in the next year, you're going to see your first robot. And then the next year after that, you're going to see 40 robots. And the next year after that, you're going to see 400 robots. And he said, within 10 years, everybody's going to have a robot in their home. He goes, the robot will be your kid's best friend. He goes, you'll be able to tell your robot, I'm going shopping, teach my child trigonometry while I'm gone. And the robots will be smarter than any humans. They can walk into any room and within 30 seconds, they're going to know everything. If there's a book on the wall, they'll know every word on every page of that book.
And, oh my gosh. And, we're going to be so smart. Yeah, let's just plant that chip right into our brain right this minute.
Pretty interesting. Your children, if you want, your robot can homeschool them. It's a little bit scary to
it
be honest
scary.
With you.
It is scary. It is scary. I just saw a video of a robot. I think it was over in China. And the robot actually kicked a little boy that was in this parade. And, like, the kid buckled over. It wasn't a good thing. So we're not there yet, U.S. We're still human-oriented. So, yeah.
So I was in China 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, my
China's
gosh.
Crazy.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to hear about that when we come back. We're about ready to take a break. We are talking to U.S. Marine, and he is the owner of Sutherland Nissan and North Orlando Mitsubishi. And he is talking, and we are talking sales and entrepreneurship and you making money. All right, guys, we'll be right back. Listen to our fantastic sponsors.
Where voice meets vision. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Mary Gardner, and I am so happy to have my friend, U.S. Marine, in the studio with us today. And we're talking sales and we're talking entrepreneurship. And I just want to encourage each one of you, because I know that we can put our head in the sand and we can think, you know, AI is not going to change me. But like U.S. just said, that his friend who's in robotics, in the next few years, our world is going to change more than it has ever in the history of the world. And so you don't want to just hide. You want to at least be educated and research. Find ways to make money on your own. What are the skills that people are still going to be using? And as I see it, it's going to be the human relationship, getting to know people in conversation. Right now, if you think about, if you go to the store, if you go to out to dinner, everybody's got their head in their phone and they're not communicating. But I do believe in a new world that communication is going to be really important, because we are going to have robots, right, U.S.? We're going to have them in the home. He was just telling me off the screen. What are we going to be doing in the home with the robots?
Well, I mean, they're going to be doing everything. Teaching your children, taking care of your children. It'll be your child's best friend. It was pretty impressive when I was listening to this guy tell me all about this. But he says within 10 years, everyone's going to own a robot. And, it's a little bit scary to me. But, you know, when you're telling your robot to take care of your children while you're out shopping,
can they punish them? Like, hey, get out, you know, stop running in the street. I mean, go run and go. They probably can go tackle them.
They're going to be able to do all of that.
Not that we want our robots to be tackling our children. Let's not program them that way. But, you know, then you think about grandmother's love. you know? And how are they going to get that if we don't keep our families close? And we've got this big trend now of people pushing their families away and not having anything to do with it. And I think that in this world of all computerized everything, that's what's happening, is this loss of human relationship connection. As a result, we have loneliness, the epidemics, addictions, all sorts of things. So it's not all good. How do you think people can prevent having a life that's just, you know, it's not full of hope. It's basically all robotic, and we ultimately could be controlled by other people. How do we prevent that?
You know, it's really scary. You know, I've listened to on the news that children are turning to ChatGTP for friendship, and that's really really kind of scary. Mm-hmm. But you know, imagine having a robot in your home that's your friend's, your children's best friend.
Yeah.
It's definitely concerning.
Well, and then you think about, like, you were just in China, and the children in China are a lot more disciplined. They spend a lot more time in school. They learn a lot more. So it's possible that we'll be learning a lot more. I don't know if we're going to be having the human skills or the relationship skills. But tell me about your trip to China. What was that like?
So I'd never been to China before. Mm-hmm. Did not know much about it. But when I got there, I will tell you that I was amazed. China's pretty
really?
Super cool country. I mean, they are quite a bit more advanced than we are here.
Wow.
Like, we were in the park and we wanted coffee, and we ordered coffee, and a drone brought us our coffee.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Are you serious?
Not even kidding.
Oh my gosh.
Coffee delivered to us by a drone.
Oh my gosh.
And China's a beautiful country. It's really super safe. I mean, even the police there don't carry guns, and super clean.
Mm-hmm.
The cars there talk to you.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's pretty
that's
interesting.
That's intense. That's so different. And you hear these people like Tucker Carlson or President Trump, they come back from Russia and they come back from Japan and China, and everyone's like, we're not like that at all. Our country has really been degraded and falling down to a level that a lot of us don't recognize. If you go to maybe some of those liberal cities that have let go, you know, crime and police and things like that. I'm pretty sure you're a conservative. What makes you, in your political lines, what do you think that our country would benefit most from? What political party? Because I don't know if you would consider the socialist. That's liberal, right?
So I'm a capitalist. So,
okay. Yeah.
I'm a hard worker, and you know, mm-hmm. another thing, when I was in China, mm-hmm. they're hard workers there,
yes.
man. They work 7 days a week, yeah. 16 hours a day there. It's
yes.
crazy. But
yes.
They're definitely a lot more disciplined.
Yeah.
And
but I saw a video, or I saw a movie, and it was the Chinese company came over and took over a manufacturing company here in the United States. It was somewhere in the upper northwest or northeast. And the Chinese people outworked our people by tons. But then they showed them at home and they were crying. They were away from their family. They are controlled by their state. They have to work for the state. And so they don't have the relationships and they're not happy. And so there's a balance. Which one is better?
I mean, I kind of like my life here
yeah.
too, but I did work hard all my life too. I was working, you know,
yeah.
6 days a week, 70 hours a day to get to where, not 70 hours a day, 70 hours a week to get to
yeah.
where I am now. So,
yeah.
I mean, I've always been a disciplined, hard worker,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, now in the last, I would say 3-4 years, I've started taking some time off and enjoying
yeah.
the fruits of my labors, but yeah, the Chinese people, they work every single day.
Yeah.
All day long.
They do. They're so respectful. The Asian culture is so respectful. And so there are so many things that we can learn from them. I do love watching on reels, like, for all of the advances in technology that even Japan has. And so it does. They do have the creature comforts. And so there are a lot of things technology wise that we can catch up with. But I think from that, we can also teach them the relationship, because so far in our country, and now that's changed a lot, people have moved and they're away from their family, but family has been really important. Maybe not like the Italians or the Spanish, you know. And then we know that cultures that are happiest, I think, dance a lot. And so, you know, got to put that in there, that if they're dancing, connecting, that's always fun. It brings a lot of joy to people. I want to go back to another skill that you've developed from such a young age, besides just the finances, but also sales. And so in my mind, sales is a really great skill that people should be learning now and studying. How has sales benefited you in your career, knowing how to do it?
Okay, so with me, sales has been pretty simple. My philosophy is treat people right, mm-hmm. give them a fair deal, and make them customers for life. So mm-hmm. I'm not a car dealership where we're, you know, it's not any high pressure at my dealership.
Right.
We want to show you how easy it is to buy a car at right. Sutherland Nissan or North Orlando Mitsubishi. Yeah. So definitely not high pressure. And I think if you give people a fair deal and make them a customer for life, that's the key to it. I mean, all of 50% of my business is repeat and referral customers.
It's amazing.
I mean, like I said, I'm still selling cars to people that I sold when I was just a salesman 30 years ago. And they drive from Tampa. They drive from Fort Myers, from Naples.
Oh, wow.
They drive to Orlando to buy cars for me because I try to make it as easy as possible. So, I mean, if I were going to give anybody advice, yeah. just treat people right. You know, mm-hmm.
why are people so intimidated by sales? Because I think the used car salesman, you had said it earlier, not a high pressure, but they pressure you really hard. And I know there's been times where in sales, like I tried to make my own quota, you know, and so you try to get that real lag, that last, oh, it's Friday, the end of the month, you got to make your deal. So you guys don't do that?
I mean, I'm not going to tell you that we're not going to follow up with you. If you come yeah. to my dealership and you're interested in buying yeah. a car, you might test drive it. You might yeah. spend an hour with my salesperson.
Yeah.
And, you know, I expect my salesperson to follow up with you if you Absolutely. Don't buy a car that day. And,
yeah.
you know, we'll give you time to shop around. We'll let you check out some other cars. But we're going to follow up with you and try to get you back and try to put you in a car from our stores.
So. Yeah, and you should. I mean, that's where most sales are lost, is in the follow-up.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes 5 or 6 touch points for a person to even feel comfortable with the salesperson. So you got to get to know people. And so I bet and imagine even those follow-up calls need to be friendly and are friendly. And I know your people are really well trained. I've been out yeah. there and they're great.
Absolutely. We don't want to blow you up, but right. we also, you know, we want to keep in contact with you and hopefully get you back into our store and
yeah.
put you in one of our cars.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I've been to your store several times, and I have to admit, I mean, the guys are all great. Haven't seen a whole lot of females out there. There may be some opportunities for you ladies at Nissan. I don't know.
I wish. I'd love.
We got to get some lady salespeople, right?
I've had some in the past.
Yeah.
I had one that was really, really good.
Yeah.
She ended up having a baby and,
yeah.
and leaving the business. But
let me put a
female
pitch out there.
Salespeople can do really well.
Women salespeople are really good because we're relational and we do care for people more in a nurturing way. Not that we're better, but we're more attentive sometimes to people's needs or emotions. And so I've coached people in sales and have seen that the females have done extraordinarily well. And then again, what US was just saying, that the follow-up is really important and just keeping that relationship going. And so I think that's great. So if you're a sales personality and everyone tells you that, hit up US Marine at Nissan. It's the Sutherland Nissan. All right. I want to talk too. You've got another restaurant that I love, the Morse Code. Tell me about that. How did that come about? And let's let the world know about it. It's such a fun little quaint place in Winter Park, Florida, off of Park Avenue.
So Morse Code Lounge is a wine bar. Wine has always been one of my passions. So I have three things that I really love. So wine, art, and I used to smoke cigars. I don't really smoke cigars that often anymore, but I used to smoke a cigar every night. So I ended up opening up a wine bar with a friend of mine, Shannon.
Love Shannon.
And we serve great wine. We have wine for $20 a bottle to wine for $8,000 a bottle.
Oh,
so we cover
some of your Chinese friends going to come over and have that, right?
So wine and then art. We have a lot of great artists that I'm fans with, and we have the art on the wall, and you can come in if you fall in love with the piece. All the art in there is for sale. And then I have an outdoor patio area with a cigar.
I love the patio. It's so great.
Yeah, so wine, art, and cigars.
Okay.
And those are some of my passions.
What's the address of the Morse Code restaurant?
It is on, it's on Morse. It's right off of Park Avenue on Morse Boulevard. And it's a great little spot.
I love it.
Check this out.
All right, we're hanging out talking to U.S. Marine in the studio, and he's the owner of Sutherland Nissan, North Orlando Mitsubishi, and the Morse Code off Park Avenue. We're going to take a break and visit our sponsors, and we'll be right back with the Mary Gardner Show.
Your greatest impact is still ahead. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody, it's Mary of the Mary Gardner Show. And yes, we do have great guests. I appreciate you guys telling me that because I keep seeing people and they're like, oh my gosh, you guys have the most fun guests. And today we have an awesome guest, U.S. Marine, who a lot of you people probably know because the U.S. has been around and he's very well known in conservative circles. And he's very generous in Orlando. He also is the owner of Sutherland Nissan and North Orlando Mitsubishi. And now you know also he's the owner and co-owner of the Morse Code off of Park Avenue and Winter Park. So you could go buy your car and then go celebrate at the Morse Code. It's a great deal. So we're talking entrepreneurship. We're talking robotics. We're talking AI and how the world is changing. So U.S., in my mind, it makes sense for people to have a side business for taxes and also for them to learn something and to grow something on the side in the event that their knees got cut off in their own business, if they got fired, if things get laid off, if AI takes over. What makes a great entrepreneur in your mind?
So, I mean, locally here in Orlando, I mean, there's a lot of options. But, I mean, a side business, gosh, you know, I mean, there's a lot of side businesses, but they take a little bit of capital. So it depends, you know, if you have some money saved up to do some things. But, I mean, even, you know, I don't know, real estate, you know, get some rental properties. There's a great rental market here in Orlando.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of options.
There are a lot of options. And whether you have a college degree or not, sometimes it doesn't matter. If you go into sales and really sales, every business needs sales. Everything you have in your house, whether it's a straw, a cup, a water bottle, everything needed to be sales. So I think for one skill for entrepreneurship, sales is good. But I think opportunities are abound. I'm a member of the Orlando Chamber. We're both a member of the Orlando Chamber. Thursday nights are having great events. And I think for somebody who's just starting to go out and spread their, you know, knowledge and start meeting and greeting. You talked about it, that people, when you got into the car business, you had friends from all over the state because of your car business and another business or bartending. So I think that getting to know people, getting out of your shell and going and meeting people. And if you're an introvert, then you could go online and join some groups. But if you show up Thursday nights, you can go to the Orlando Chamber. They're having these great events, or any of your local chambers is a great place to kind of get started. But in terms of entrepreneurship, I think it's important for that to prevent being let go. And it's also good for taxes. Do you know why it's good for taxes to have your own business?
I mean, there's a lot of tax write-offs.
A lot of write-offs, yeah, exactly.
You can get away with a lot when you have your own business.
My whole business is a write-off. I mean, because even hair, makeup, clothes, everything that I use on the air is always important. I can write all those things off. So, and then if we entertain, if I have people working for me, bringing in food, so I mean, everything is basically a write-off. So it's great to be an entrepreneur. And it's a learning process. You don't just all of a sudden wake up and say, I'm an entrepreneur, and you go off and you're great at it. It takes time. How much time do you think that it takes for somebody to kind of transition into something new?
I mean, you know, if you want to be really good at it, you got to spend some time on it. Yeah. Be the best that you can be. Read up. Yep. Learn as much as you can. But I mean, I worked 70 hours a week to get to where I am.
It's a lot of time.
And I worked 70 hours a week for 25, 30 years. I just started taking time off the last 3 or 4 years just because I'd, you know, done well and I wanted to enjoy the fruits of my labors and spend more time with my daughter. You know, I work so much. I missed a lot of, watching my daughter grow up. When, you know, when she was at the beach, I was at my car dealership. You know, Saturdays. Yeah. Saturdays are our busiest days. So I didn't take a Saturday off for a long, long time.
Wow. So you basically worked a double week most people are working 40 hours. You worked almost double of that.
Yeah, I was working 70 hours every
week.
That's
really a lot of hours. And you obviously are doing well now. You look great. You're in shape. And I know you have your own gym in your house. So that probably helped. What are some of the biggest mistakes that young entrepreneurs or young workers make?
Oh, man. So mistakes. I mean, you know, you got to love what you do. So,
okay.
You know, people getting, you know, jobs in industries that they don't enjoy. I think you're right.
You know, I think that I went yesterday to a Verizon store and it was getting some batteries for my, you know, a charger. And the guy just sat there like limp. He didn't have that passion. And how often do you find people that have that drive and that passion?
So, I mean, if you're doing something you love doing, it's not so much work as if you're, you know, working a job that you really don't enjoy. So find something that you love doing and focus on being the best that you can at that. And, and you know, I actually love the car business. I love meeting people. And, you know, that was one of the things that made it, you know, the 70 hours a week wasn't so bad because I was enjoying what I was doing.
Yeah. So. And you said it was so simple. You're basically treating people right and you're helping them with something that they definitely need. You and your associates and the people that work for you have more education. And so sharing that with the people, it's not, sales are not hard and business is not hard. A lot of people get intimidated. I think that one of the things that I keep hearing from you is the amount of hours that you put in. And I think we've had, or maybe my generation, our generation has grown our children up to be entitled. But one of the things that you said early is that you watched your dad really work hard. And in the early years, my son watched how hard I worked and my ex-husband, how hard he worked. And my son said, I don't want to work that hard. No way, I'm not going to do it. And then he started working and really liked it. And then he needed money. And so he took on another job and another job. Now he's working harder than I ever. He's working three jobs.
Good for him.
Yeah. He works over at the Imperial. He's one of the cooks.
Oh, yeah. I love the Imperial.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the one that makes everything look really pretty and he keeps the kitchen really clean. And so FYI.
You know what? The food there is actually really good. So cheers to your son. He's doing a great job.
He is doing a great job.
But so when I tell you that I'm taking time off now, I'm probably working a 40-hour work week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for a regular person, that's not really taking time off. But, you know, going from 70 hours a week for my whole life to working 40 hours a week, that's me saying I'm taking time off. But if you come to my dealership, you're going to see me on the showroom floor. I'm shaking hands, kissing babies, getting to know all my customers. And, you know, that's...
Yeah, I do. All right. So do you, I'm guessing I know the answer, but is hustle more important or strategy matter more in someone's career or business?
So I think they're both important, but I think you got to hustle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can have the greatest strategy, but if you're not going to work hard enough to make everything work, you know, you gotta have both.
Yeah. But it's
definitely hustle.
I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but a lot of women, I hear them like, that's bro culture. You know, we women aren't made like that. And I'm like, we are heart driven. Women are. But what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I look at Shannon. She's working, you know, from the Morse code. She works hard. I mean, I work hard. I still feel like I'm, you know, in hustle mode at my stage of life, too. And kind of rebuilding a new business with the radio show and a new podcast and things like that. But do you see a lot of females doing the hustle or the heart?
I mean, I think they're probably more heart, but I know a bunch of them that hustle and, you know, they do well, but I think you got to work hard, whether you're male or female, you got to put in the work.
It's so true.
To get there. So
I will say that I do think that women come off harder as people when they don't have the softness of relationship. And so I always like to say, I'm like, oh, you're overambitious. You know, some people call them a different name, but I think that there is a mix that needs to happen if they're going to be really successful in life also. Because a lot of people wake up at age 50, never had kids, never got to experience life. And it's sad. I have a lot of friends at that stage and they miss that role that they, you know, they worked all the way through it. Tell me about what role faith has played in your journey.
So, I mean, listen, I go to Bible study every Tuesday night. I go to church. Mm-hmm. I think when I was younger, the people that I most admired in my life were faith-based people. And, you know, I grew up in the church. My mother is very religious. My mother, is constantly calling me. My mom even writes me letters that I get in the mail, and you know,
oh my mom's like, gosh,
are you saying your prayers every night?
Because
you have so much to be thankful for. And you know, she even makes sure, she's like, but do you get on your knees and say your prayers?
Sweet mama.
Yeah, my mom's incredible.
Oh my gosh,
my mom
she sounds
amazing,
wonderful.
But yeah, I think you know, Christ plays a big role in my life.
Amen. Amen. No, I leave it, because a lot of times when things get so stressful, we don't know what to do. He always knows. And so it's great to be able to have a relationship with the Lord, to be able to have that supernatural strength, really, and to be able to put our problems at his feet. And at your level, and I coach a lot of CEOs, people have no idea the pressure, the absolute pressure that someone like you have. And so I cannot imagine somebody not having faith in their life or having a relationship with God, because it would drown most people. It's impressive. Thank you for sharing that. That's really amazing. Tell me what you look for when you're hiring somebody. We gotta get you some recruits. Women, listen up.
Oh man, so you know, it's tough to hire these days, to be honest with you. I'm looking for somebody that's dedicated and is a hard worker, is trainable, because I can train you how to sell cars. It's you know, as long as you've got the drive, it's an easy skill to learn. So, I mean, it's easy. Just like I said, you just treat people right, give them a fair deal, and follow up with them, and send them birthday cards just so you're top of mind if they have any relatives looking for cars. But ask for referrals. And I mean, it's an easy business, but it's also, you know, you got to put in the hours to be a good car salesman. It's not a 40-hour week job.
Yeah, it is.
It's but hiring kids these days. You know, there's some that are that have it, but I find most of them, they want to be the CEO. They don't want to start at the bottom and work their way up like you and I did.
Exactly. You know? Oh my gosh.
Nowadays, they want to work a 30-hour work week.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know. Yeah, we got to change this around, especially in Orlando. We got to have a strategy. We're going to talk about that when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. We're sitting here talking to U.S. Marine, who is the owner of Sutherland Nissan North Orlando Mitsubishi, and also the Morse Code down off Park Avenue. So go buy your beautiful new car, and then go have a glass of wine at the Morse Code. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Mary Gardner of The Mary Gardner Show, and we'll be right back.
Reach out to Mary Gardner at marygardner.com. Open doors, build a legacy. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Mary, and I'm sitting here in the studio today with my friend, U.S. Marine. And U.S. Marine is a super entrepreneur, and he's the owner of Sutherland Nissan and North Orlando Mitsubishi, which is new, not new, but he bought it 6 months ago, and also the Morse Code. And thankfully, they've all been our sponsors. So we love U.S. Marine. Thank you so much, U.S. Marine. We appreciate that. All right. So we're talking about the car dealership. And a lot of people look at it like a mystery, and a lot of people are intimidated by it. They want to bring somebody with them to go buy the car. They do all the research. Tell me about the car dealership and make it easy for people.
So one thing that most people don't know about car dealerships are is that really I have four different companies that are all under one roof. And it's kind of like having a Wendy's, a McDonald's, a Burger King, and an Arby's all under one roof. And so there's four different departments. I have new cars, used cars, parts, and service.
Oh.
And all four of these companies under one roof are all responsible to make a profit at the end of the month, but they all have to work together. So my role there is really just, I'm kind of like a referee between all four different companies, making sure they're all working well together. And I'll give you like an example of this. So let's say you came in to buy a car and you were looking at a new Nissan, and you had a used Toyota to trade in. And my used car manager goes and appraises your trade in. And let's say it was worth $10,000 and you're buying a new car. And let's say my new car manager is working the deal. He's a little bit short trying to get to the payment that you wanted. So my new car guy goes to my used car guy and said, listen, I'm going to lose this deal unless you can put a little bit more money in Mary's trade-in. So they have to work together to try to put a deal together. And then after we take your car in on trade, let's say we make the deal and we take your car in on trade, We have to send it through the service department to get it reconditioned to put it out on the lot.
Oh, wow. Now, so you're investing more money.
So my used car manager stepped up and put an extra $1,000 in your trade to make the deal. Mm-hmm. So now it's got to go through service. And let's say it costs $1,400 to get your car through service so I can put it out on the lot and,
wow,
you know, have it nice and clean and ready, right, for a new buyer. But we step way up on your trade. So now, mm-hmm, my used car manager has to approve that $1,400 in reconditioning fees on your trade, but we only have $800 in room. So, so now he has to go to the service manager and says, listen, I can't spend $800 or $1,400 on this car.
Is this before you actually buy the car from the customer? Or
well,
is
this
it after?
Is after I've,
okay,
taken it,
okay,
in on trade.
Gotcha.
After I've taken it
Got
out
it.
On trade, now I got to get it reconditioned to, okay, put it out on my car lot for somebody else to,
gotcha,
buy.
Yep.
But anyway, so now we're trying to get this $1,400 bill down to $800, and my service manager then has to work with my parts manager,
okay,
to, you know, try to get this bill down.
Wow.
So all the departments have to work together,
wow,
to try to make things work.
Yep.
But they're also all responsible to make a profit at the end of the month.
Oh my gosh.
But if they're not working together,
yeah,
none of this works.
Wow.
If they're not working together, I would not ever have, right, been able to sell Mary a car.
Right.
So,
right.
So that's the thing about, most people don't know about a car dealership. They think it's, you know, everything is.
Well, here's what I think people think is that when they leave and say, oh, let me go talk to my manager, that they're faking it. That they're like, okay, they're just like, oh, hey, how's your, what are you having for lunch? What's going on? Oh, yeah. My customer's waiting. We got one more minute. What else can we talk about?
I mean, that might happen somewhere, but.
Yeah.
Most of the time, we're trying to figure out how to make you a car dealer.
Right, and I hear it now.
Especially today.
Yeah.
Because today, the, mm-hmm, car business is really tough.
Okay.
We have a lot of headwinds. We have tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
We have high interest rates right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have negative equity because everyone that's trying to buy a car right now is trying to trade in a car they bought during COVID and, mm-hmm, they overpaid.
Oh.
So, and then we have the economy. The economy, I mean, the stock market's good right now,
yeah,
but it's not easy out there right,
yeah,
now. People are having a tough time. So,
yeah,
there's a lot of headwinds right now that, mm-hmm, that makes it really tough because if you came in, mm-hmm, and you have a $400 trade, a, mm-hmm, $400 payment on your trade in right,
mm-hmm,
now,
mm-hmm,
most likely your payments are going up. And, mm-hmm, my customers, they can't afford their payments to go up.
Yeah.
So we're trying to find every way we can to put, wow, a car deal together right now. And it's car business is tough right now.
You're very highly motivated though, and you guys are going to do the right thing. I mean, just hearing everything that you've talked about today, what's a good deal right now in the market for a show or like a car with Nissan or Mitsubishi? What cars are you selling and what are you recommending to people?
So I just bought the Mitsubishi dealership like 6 months ago, and I did not realize that Mitsubishi makes some really, really good cars.
Mm.
And they actually come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. So,
wow,
Mitsubishi is so confident in their vehicles, and really their vehicles don't break down. They're,
oh,
great cars.
Oh, so, okay.
10-year, 100,000-mile warranty.
Okay.
And
that's really amazing.
Yeah.
Like who keeps their car for 10 years besides myself?
Yeah.
Because I love the color of my car.
Yeah. But yeah, great cars and deals right now.
Yeah.
I have 0% financing. In Nissan, I have 0% financing on them. The Pathfinder, the Frontier, the Rogue, and the Murano. And at Mitsubishi, I have 0% financing on the Outlander.
Oh, I love that one.
Sport. So
yeah, and, you've got some.
I mean, there's good deals out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, a lot of people are. Yeah, they're upside down on their trade-ins.
But not everybody. And there are some people that are being fruitful in today's economy. And people in healthcare, they're still working. They still got to have a good car. And so we got a lot of conservatives that listen to the station. And they were smart. They're capitalists, too. They have businesses and they have money. So you guys, make sure and go see U.S. over at his car dealerships. Where do you hang out? You're over at the Sutherland Nissan, right? Or
so,
do you go to the North Orlando Mitsubishi also?
So I go to both of them. I spend the mornings into the early afternoon at the Nissan dealership. And then, mm-hmm, I go to the Mitsubishi dealership around 2 p.m. and just check on things there. And
okay.
So I spend most of my time there. And when I'm not at work, I'm at my bar sometimes drinking a glass of wine. So
yeah, come see him at the
enjoy a glass of wine with me. Exactly. And then on Sundays, I'm out on my lake. I love the water. So you
what's the lake catch that me? You're over in Maitland.
I live on Lake Maitland.
Lake Maitland. Yeah.
On Sundays, I'm out on the lake wake surfing or at the racquet club or.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's so great. I'm glad to see that you're getting some time off. We are going to transition now over to a really fun segment that I do every week called You Rock.
You rock. You rock. You rock. You rock. You rock.
So you asked, the You Rock section came about because my brother, who passed away about 8 years ago, was in pain a lot. He had scoliosis, and he couldn't really do a lot physically, but emotionally, and so he was big support and my biggest cheerleader. And always told me, Mary, you're going to do great in life. Just be happy. Follow your passion. Do what you want to do. And you rock, Mary. You rock. Don't ever forget it. And so I always remember that. It's been so important to me. And so when I wanted to do the You Rock section to acknowledge people in my life, and then I'm going to ask you who rocks in your world. So the person that rocks in my world right now is you.
And
I just want to thank you so much for investing in our show. And you've been a really good friend to me as I've transitioned into this. Radio has been my dream for so long. And my career has been national. And so I didn't really have a lot of business friends in Orlando. And now I do through the Orlando Chamber. And so I just appreciate you so much. You're so generous. And you helped me on my video shoot. And I see how generous you are to so many people and so many causes. And so I just want to acknowledge you and really appreciate you so much. And so, US, you rock.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
I enjoy giving back.
So. Oh, you are so good at it. And people appreciate it so much. Yeah. So who in your world rocks?
Man, I would have to say my mom. My mother is my biggest cheerleader. My dad passed away 10 years ago. Mm. And my dad was, big influence in my life. And, in the past 10 years, I've actually done well and wish he was around to see it. But, my mom is always encouraging me. She's definitely my biggest cheerleader. And she's also the one that tells me that, I got to thank God for
amen
for, the abundance that I've had and for make sure that I say my prayers every night.
Exactly.
And get down on my knees and say them.
Yes, amen. So, you sound like a good Catholic.
Yeah. Not Catholic, but my mom is the one that rocks for me. She's amazing.
What's your mom's name?
My mom's name is Eva Marine.
Eva, you rock. We love you, girl. Thank you. That's so great. Well, one thing I've learned over the years is that nobody is coming to rescue us. God gives us gifts, opportunities, talents, and abilities, but we are expected to use them. And if you want a better life, learn a skill. If you want a bigger future, invest in yourself. If you want greater income, then solve bigger problems. Study sales, study communication, study leadership, study business and entrepreneurship. Find a mentor, work hard, and stay humble. Definitely keep your faith. And remember that every successful entrepreneur started exactly where you are today with an idea, a dream, and the courage to take the first step. My guest today, U.S. Marine, has shown us what's possible when discipline, service, faith, and entrepreneurship come together. So, U.S., thank you for joining us today on the Mary Gardner Show. And I would just like to know what your last words are for the audience and what gift of encouragement can you give them?
Well, I had a super fun time with you today, so thank you for inviting me. But I would say find something that you love, study, learn to master it, and, it won't be so hard. It's not really work when you're doing something that
you love.
So
you're going to spend the time doing something anyway.
Yeah.
And might as well do something that you love and that'll benefit others.
Yeah. Learn how to master it, and it'll be great.
I love it. Thank you so much. That's so great. You guys heard it here today. We've been spending time with U.S. Marine, who is the owner of the Sutherland Nissan dealership and the North Orlando Mitsubishi and Morris Code on Park Avenue. I have enjoyed my time with you today, U.S. Thank you for sharing your heart, your advice, and your faith with us today. So everybody, please visit us at marygardner.com and share the show, theanswerorlando.com, and we will see you next week. God bless.